This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
I'm Scott McGee, and I am the chef and partner of Yellow Rocket Concepts here in Little Rock, Arkansas.
What sort of thematic?
Our restaurants, we're all over the map. I have an Italian pizzeria, wood oven pizzeria called Zaza. And then I have an authentic Cali Mex place called Local Lime. And there's multiple locations of some of these. And then I've got what we call Arc-Mex, which is a version of Tex-Mex. Heights Taco and Tamale.
Named after the neighborhood?
Yeah, this is the Heights neighborhood. Subsequently, we're opening one in Bentonville soon, and it's called Bentonville Taco and Tamale.
Cool, and that's Walmart land?
Yeah, that's Walmart land up there in Bentonville, Arkansas. It's beautiful up there.
Well, that's a good clientele.
Yeah.
They have all the corporate guys that are...
Yeah, it's a weird mix up there. People from all over the world live there. It's really interesting.
And then these anomalies at what, C21 Hotel?
Yeah, 21C, Chef Matt McClure, he's one of the best chefs in Arkansas. He's actually from Little Rock. And there's some incredible talent up there. Great chefs up there.
I don't think they could pull it off without the corporate element of Walmart headquarters.
Yeah, that's a lot of activity and energy into that area. It's unbelievable what the Waltons and the J.B. Hunt family and the Tyson, all those people up there have just put a lot of energy into that community. And, of course, that art museum up there is among the best in the world. State of the art, Crystal Bridges. Unbelievable. I mean, you just can't believe that's in the middle of a farm town.
They have art that you would expect to see in Washington, D.C.
Like at the Met,
know?
Absolutely.
Yes, literally.
It's a special place. And I have one more place. I have Lost 40 Brewing. That's our brewery. Uh-huh. And we have a new place coming called Camp Taco, which is kind of an offshoot of that brewery. But also, I'm just a cog in the wheel. My creative people and my team and my partners, I'm only a tiny part of the equation.
What is your skill set? What's your expertise?
I'm a chef.
That's what you bring to the table is culinary end of things?
Yeah, and I've been cooking since I was a kid. I cut my teeth at Chez Panisse in Berkeley and the California Culinary Academy. And I've been, I own a place called Boulevard Bread Company, which I sold for about 10 years, and San Francisco-style bread, European-style breads. Mm-hmm. And more, for me, it's less about cooking now and more about relationships, more about my team, more about taking care of the people that work for me and so much energy into what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And just keeping people happy. So, I mean, my partners would tell you I'm the Easter Bunny because they say I like to make everyone happy, which is true. I mean, that's a real passion of mine.
So you're definitely a people person.
Sometimes to an annoying degree, I think.
So a lot of energy.
Yeah.
How do they keep you out of the kitchen?
Well, they don't. I mean, I do a special at every location every month, and then I do them little pop-up specials whenever I can. Then I'm always, of course...
Is it kind of a chef's dinner where you attract
regulars? I have not done any, five-course chef's fancy meals since COVID started.
But when you do the pop-up, right?
Yeah, the pop-ups are like, I'll get some Romano beans in from Armstead Farms or Barnhill Orchards, and I'll do tempura, Romano beans with some kind of delicious, spicy sauce. I mean, it's just related to I found something.
On the spur of the moment.
I found some beautiful produce, and I'm just going to throw it out there in some interesting way. And it might be, heirloom tomatoes, or it might be figs, or it might be Arkansas peaches. I mean, it's just.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So even though you're an Arkansas native, you grew up here.
Yeah.
You migrated out west. You're in the mothership, Chez Panisse, man. I mean, how cool is that?
I got real lucky to get a job here.
Right. But even in that environment, you mentioned the word Sonoma as culinary ingredient, and it's known around the world. So you were spoiled.
The produce is just as good in Arkansas. But the variety is not as good. In Arkansas, you get amazing figs, but it's one variety. Mm-hmm. And at Monterey Market in Berkeley, you've got like 30 varieties of figs. Mm-hmm. So there is some more interesting stuff there. But you can't buy a tomato in California that's better than an Arkansas tomato.
Go a little further on things that are unique to Arkansas, at least in that character and flavor profile?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we have an incredibly intense growing season here in terms of the amount of sun, more so than California. So some things do really well in that environment and some don't do so well. Strawberries do incredibly well here and because we have pretty cold winters, and you need that. Relatively cold winters and then really, you know, warm springs.
Can you do stone fruit here?
Stone fruit is incredible in Arkansas. We do have amazing peaches, many varieties. That's a real specialty of Arkansas and the South. Those fruit trees do not like too cold of a winter. So,
but they need a certain amount.
They need a certain amount. The conditions for them to set fruit are just really good in Arkansas. A lot of times, if you get a late freeze, you lose a peach crop. And so that doesn't happen that often in Arkansas.
Let's talk a little bit more about local and regional food scene and on two levels. One is sustainable is one of the BS words out there because it's so amorphous, but yet it is an important aspect and adjunct. And then going to the next level, we know the organic.
Right.
You know, talk to us about your philosophy from sourcing fresh, good for you.
So, I mean, the overwhelming thing is, honestly, you know, I kind of pull the rug out from under myself by saying this. I think the world needs to get away from meat as much as possible.
Right.
And my restaurants are not a great example of that. But I would
What happened? Where was your shift that brought you
there? My wife is a lifelong vegan. Mm-hmm. She fills me with all kinds of propaganda, most of which is true, I believe.
Right.
I just think we have to find a truly more sustainable future.
As much because of environmental issues, correct?
Environmental issues and, you know,
and how about health issues?
And health. I think we need to eat greener for health, and I think we need to eat greener to save the planet and to, the environment. And I think there's also, you know, the fact that how animals are treated in factory farms, I think is really, really, we don't think about it much, but the more you think about it, the more you really don't want to be a part of that. So the way I've been dealing with it is just adding tons of vegan options at every location and trying to expand that every year. You know, we have 6 different patty options at Big Orange, my burger place. You know, 3 of them are vegan. So
interesting. What's working the best in a meat alternative to kind of satiate that desire for meat?
I've always disliked meat substitutes. So I try to use whole vegetables.
Right.
And just make them really delicious and interesting ways. Although, I will admit, those meat substitutes have improved dramatically in the last few years. And what it shows me is, there is, as someone who loves meat, I think there's hope. I mean, I think we're going to be finding not only meat substitutes, but maybe even lab-grown meat, which is less harmful to the environment and you don't have to kill animals. So I think technology potentially is going to make that transition a lot easier. And it's going to be really fun as a restaurateur and a chef to these companies, you know, every time they come out with a new product, whether it's Beyond Meat or Before the Butcher, a lot of these companies are really innovative. I mean, I just can't wait to taste what's coming down the pipe because every 6 months they release new products. And I've just been really impressed.
But I think a lot of it is it's kind of a cultural default where forever we addictively seek out meat.
You know,
and we know how it helps with proteins and whatnot. And yet part of it is just unconscious.
I crave meat.
I mean,
I get so – we don't eat meat at my house. And middle of the day sometimes I'll go to Whole Hog Barbecue and just eat the biggest pork sandwich, you know, and I just needed it.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, like, my brain fog is gone. So, yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, we have to be able to replace that somehow if we really want to transition more completely.
I went on a Kansas City barbecue trip. That's all you did every day.
Oh, that's tough.
Oh, yeah. And then
that's hard.
It became this obsession in the pursuit of the perfect burnt end.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about turning somebody into a junkie.
Man, I've been on some barbecue tours around Austin and also in Kansas City and Memphis. And, man, that's hard living because it'll wear you out.
Yeah.
And you'll taste that smoke flavor for days. And it's a lot.
Yeah.
I love barbecue, but those tours always kind of put me down.
Yeah. Well, my wife is like your wife. She taught biology and science, and she has a cancer. So everything we eat in our house is organic and natural. And she's pretty much gone away from meat. And it's interesting how somebody like you and me that are so used to it, how we get satiated from alternatives.
Yes. I mean, honestly, if I have heirloom tomatoes and some good French green lentils prepared well with lots of herbs and some greens, I mean, I can be just as happy with that if, you know.
Even a killer coleslaw.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is intense flavor.
And some really good beans, some kind of, I get Rancho Gordo beans or Phipps Ranch. I mean, I love interesting beans.
In the legumes and beans, that's one of your, it's important, right?
As a big
alternative.
Time. It's a big source of protein.
Yes. So that's our best hope.
Yes. Right? Yeah, beans will save us, no doubt. One needs to write that book.
So if you had a month off and I could take you to a little place in Italy and all you could do is eat and cook and source, what would you make? What would you serve?
Oh, I love Market Centrale in Florence. It's the central produce market. Mm-hmm. It's also a fish and meat market as well. And, you know, one thing that I really love is I love the fish stews from every region of the world. You know, whether it's Spain or whether it's gumbo in New Orleans or whether it's cioppino in San Francisco or... Mm-hmm. So I love getting some incredible tomatoes and getting some amazing different varieties of fish. And then put a charcoal grilled crostini and a big dollop of aioli in there or a garlic mayonnaise. And I love cooking fish stew from different parts of the world. Even, you know, Southeast Asian fish stews and Japanese, Chinese, you name it. Pan-global fish stew. So that's what I would do. But also just, you know, same in Berkeley, but in Italy, you can find a melon that is 50,000 times sweeter than anything you've ever tasted in Arkansas. I mean, it's just they have some really incredible varieties there that we don't get here. And I mean, sometimes, Alice Waters always said, if you have the most sweetest, the most perfect, perfectly ripe in season peach, why would you change it? Why would you do anything to it?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's so much of that in Italy where you just, it's the beauty, the art is in the simplicity.
There's that old phrase, Americans eat to live,
right?
And Italians live to eat.
No doubt about it. Yeah. That is 100% true.
A lesson we need to learn more of. Huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more beyond the scope of your restaurants of Little Rock in this region as a culinary destination.
Yeah. So you know, you've spent some time in New Orleans, and you know, it's interesting. This part of the world evolved. The people that came here, obviously, are the food. Mm-hmm. Arkansas is interesting in that we have this, obviously, this Germanic, Scotch-Irish kind of hillbilly mountain people influence from the north. And then, you know, from the south, you had a big Mexican migration in the early 1900s, which brought what, you know, Tex-Mex and Arc-Mex and Delta tamales and things like that. The African culture brought from Africa eggplant and okra and watermelons and cucumbers and all these amazing things came with that culture. And then you have the Caribbean culture, and particularly New Orleans, you know, has the French, all the cultures I just mentioned, and then the Native American culture, where it was a big part of Southern cuisine, you know, corn and potatoes and beans and tomatoes are all part of that Native American culture. Like most places in the world, this is an interesting melting pot. And we really do in Arkansas have a deep connection with New Orleans. Arkansans generally, they deeply understand gumbo and po' boys and jambalaya and oysters on the half shell because the New Orleans culture is a behemoth. It just kind of seeps into everything around it because it's such an incredible food culture.
There's also the roots. These are the dirt poor food.
Yeah.
So a lot of the cuisine was developed out of leftovers.
Yeah.
Cuttings.
My great-grandfather would eat leftover cornbread with hot buttermilk over it.
Nice.
And a little sugar. I mean, things like that. Are, you know, that's born out of necessity. Mm-hmm. Eating chitlins, you know, innards of the pig. I mean, that's born out of necessity.
Yep. Yep.
But you learn how to make things delicious. Mm-hmm. You know, recipes are passed down and things, you know.
Lives on, though.
Yeah.
You know, timeless.
You know, Arkansas is much related to the produce that's grown here. An Arkansas summer plate. It's thick sliced tomatoes. It's corn off the cob sauteed with a little jalapeno. It's black-eyed peas. It's lady peas, field peas. It's green tomato pickle that we put up in the winter. And it's a big old slab of cornbread. My great-grandfather, he liked cornbread cooked in a waffle iron because you could cook it to order and it's hot.
I love that.
A fresh churned butter and you know fried okra. I could just go on and on. To me, you get a plate with, you know, 10 of those local vegetables. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is Arkansas on a plate.
Interesting. Looking back in your earlier days in the Bay Area, Berkeley and Chapinee,
yeah,
and specifically with Alice Waters, what stuck? You know, what do you go thank you for today?
I have to give my mother some credit for this as well, because she trained me from a young age. But Alice Waters, the most important thing she taught me was you treat people with dignity and respect without exception, always, every conversation, every interaction. This was a time when the biggest thing on TV was a chef throwing a pan across the kitchen yelling at people. And the Chapinese kitchen was exact opposite. Mm-hmm. Everyone was so kind and respectful and caring and loving. And I really try to, I do my best to be that person as a boss, as a friend, as a
That
husband.
Is an anomaly, isn't it? I mean, I yeah. can't tell you a number of kitchens I've been in that you want to duck.
I don't allow yelling or screaming. I haven't yelled or screamed at a human in my entire life, and I never will.
That's really cool. So that's a real important fundamental yeah. lesson learned.
Yeah, and it's so important for the people around you, but also for yourself. Yep. I mean, I just love that, you know, if you're that upset with someone, let them just sit them down and see if you can help them out. Mm-hmm. And if not, just kind of politely ask them to leave.
Cool.
That's not the end of the world, you know.
Yeah. One more. We didn't talk at all about the brewing.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about that for a moment.
Man, I got to give my partner, John Beachboard, all the credit, and he is the brewer. All I do is drink the beer, but
has to test it.
Lost 40, I think, is the...
It's a microbrewery.
Yeah, we won Best Midside Brewery in the country last year. Big wow. award at the GABF. My brewers are magicians. They are incredible. We brew all kinds of different varieties, and you know, we just love it. It's a real passion.
What is your distribution? Yeah.
We only distribute in Arkansas. We distribute all over Arkansas. You know, we sell it in restaurants here. We do have a food concept there as well. It's kind of New Haven style pizza food concept, and we do really good. We have a big smoker. We smoke things and smoke ribs and wings and things like that.
And you're not fat.
Well, I mean, I ebb and flow. I'm on my roller coaster.
For further information.
Lost 40 Brewing, Local Lime Tacos and Margaritas, Heights Taco and Tamale, Zaza Pizza, Big Orange Burger. My name is Scott McGee, right here in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Scott, awesome. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so very much.
Yeah, now you got me hungry.
All right, good.
Tom Wilmer reporting from Little Rock, Arkansas. We'll see you here.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolfe, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust preservation initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.